Thank you.
Good afternoon, good evening, hello, my name's Ronald Manatta.
Ron.
And I thank God for everything. They asked me to speak on the higher point of freedom. And I think I spoke maybe at the third unity retreat, maybe the fourth unity retreat. So today, I have a day clean, but I also have 26 years of having a day clean. My anniversary was yesterday. And the higher the point of freedom, the more I thought about this topic. When I got here in 97, I was like, if I could get 2 years clean, I'd be cool, because I thought that's all I had left to live. Active addiction had beat me so bad that when I surrendered and checked into a treatment facility, the guy who sponsors me told me, like, when I slid in, I got immediate relief. I'm from Philadelphia, but I'm here by way of Altoona, because in 96, I had to leave Philadelphia, because a lot of people told me that I wouldn't be able to get clean in my neighborhood or nowhere else in the city. And I didn't think so either. So, a little bit about me. My parents died when I was 5 years old. July 18th, 1964, my father died. September 25th, 1964, my mother died. And I was messed up. I was five. I was at my father's mother's house for the weekend, and they came in and said, "Miss Ann, you gotta come across the street, something wrong with Bobby." And my grandmother, when she came back, she was beside herself. And I didn't know what was wrong, but what was wrong was she just had to go across the street to another project building and identify her son, her oldest kid, overdosed. And my life took a real weird, I don't give a fuck mentality. So I was hurt. Nobody asked me how I felt. I had four sisters. I only have one sister now. All these girls went to therapy. I had an uncle who was a street dude. My mother's brother. He was a street dude, wears his hair in the process, and ladies, attended bar. And I looked up to Donald. Donald came upstairs when my mother was dying, in the kitchen, because she had went out for the first time with her girlfriend in September went out, had a few drinks, come home and took her medicine for her depression about my dad. And some people know that alcohol and pills don't mix well in everybody's chemistry. They didn't mix well in my mother's chemistry. So I'm sitting on the top step in my house, and on my right hand side, I could hear what's coming out the kitchen. And the paramedics is saying, she in a coma. Then I heard him tell my grandmother that she's gone. My uncle come upstairs, and I'm on a step about ready to bawl my fucking eyes out. He put his arm around me and said, "Men don't cry." I was fucking fire. But for Donald, got it together, went in the room. So I'm like, you know, everybody talking about this guy. They going to church. Like, guys, like, you don't do this to little kids, do you? So I took on this rebellious fucking nature. Started doing real wild things. Like, I would come home from school when I was in first grade, and I would curse God while doing my homework. I would do things in the streets that I wouldn't do in the house, because in the house, my great-grandparents raised me. So I called my mom. If you hear me refer to my mom and dad, I'm talking about my great-grandparents. These was my mother's people. Man, they loved me and my older sister to the best of their ability. It was a weird time in our history, in our history as Americans. I couldn't understand why we weren't all equal. Like, what the fuck? Like, what's the difference in the complexion of my skin? But it was a reality. Oh, well. Grew up in the era where children are being seen, not heard. People tell Ronald what to do. I tell you, go home and take care of your own motherfucking kids. My mom and dad is dead. Somebody tell my grandmother how I responded to them giving me good orderly direction. Did you say that to them? They shouldn't have been bothering me. I'm not gonna say yes or no. They shouldn't have been bothering me. They minding my business. Back then, the neighbor could beat you, then take you home and you get a beating. Okay? So periodically, I had a neighbor who would enforce that. My buddy's dad, he would enforce that. And at some point, he went a little bit too far, and my granddad told him, "Don't put your hands on him again."
Oh, that just gave me free rein to tell you, go fuck yourself, man. Leave me the fuck alone. Right?
And I took on that mentality. So I got here after a long history of being defiant, rebellious, and doing what I wanted to do. I joined the Marines when I was 17. I joined the Marines because I wanted to give my grandmother and my mom and dad, I wanted to give them a break. I was a badass little kid who God was going to strike down and send to hell. And my thinking at the time was like, would you bring it on because I'm ready to go. I've been hit by 7 cars, overdosed a lot of times. So when I was 37, I decided I was going to try to get clean. Like, I was killing myself. It was taking too long. It was taking too long. Suicide on the installment plan is fucked up, right? Because somebody talked about it earlier, like I would go out and like, now I come to my pants wet because people done put ice all in me, poured water all over me, and I'm checking my pockets for the rest of my shit. So I got clean, came up here in 96. Went to treatment, 11 months in, I decided I was gonna get high again. But the first time I went in, I knew I was gonna get high. Wasn't no doubt in my mind. But on page 18, at the bottom of the page of the fifth edition, it starts 9 questions, and the first question is, are you done yet? And I might be paraphrasing, what the 6th edition says, but it says, are you done yet? After I relapsed after 11 months, I knew I was fucking done. Cause everything they told me was gonna happen that was happening to me in Philadelphia happened in Altoona. Everything, right down to the overdose. Yeah, I had a pastor tell me, he said, you know what? It's not as much dope in Altoona as it is in Philadelphia. He said, but it's just enough to get you caught up. Caught myself with a year up in Altoona, I was caught up. I had started using that for 11 months, right? Got clean in August. Looked around the rooms, cause I got a sponsor first time I got clean in name, right? Just somebody in name. In 97, I went in the rooms and I listened. And there's a guy in Altoona, he's still my sponsor today. I was like, I don't even fucking like this dude. I didn't think he was arrogant or cocky. It was just something about him that I couldn't put my finger on. I don't fucking like him. So he used to share at meetings, and he was like the guy with the most clean time in the area. So at the end of the meeting, he would always share. He'd wait till the beginning, or he'd wait till the end, or share at the beginning. If he shared at the beginning, I'd go outside and smoke a cigarette. If he shared at the end, I'd be on my way outside. So every time I would be on my way outside, he would say something, and they were like, damn, how he know that? Cause he didn't look like the addict. He had 13 years clean. I would go to meet, he's like, I got 13 years clean. I'm like, you a lying motherfucker. Ain't no way you use dope like me and got 13 years clean. But he could tell my story. Like get on the elevator and just pull something out and say, okay, everybody just break yourself. Pull your pants down to your knees, let me go through your pocket. I'm like, the fuck out of here. You ain't do no shit like that. But he knew the jargon. One night he was sharing and he said, when you go out, he said when he went out, it was somebody in the ER slapping him, saying, stay with us. What the fuck did you have? I'm like, everybody don't know that. So I told him, I said, dude, I don't even fucking like you. But can you be my guide from point A to point B? And he told me it would be an honor. And over the past 24 years, we have formed a relationship that I've never had with any other man. Like, even my granddad. And what's crazy is a lot of things he said to me, my granddad used to say to me. A whole lot of stuff my sponsor said to me, my granddad said the same thing to me. My sponsor said to me one time, he said, you talk with a lot of integrity, why don't you shut the fuck up and walk with some? I'm like, hold up. How are you gonna insult, no, compliment me and insult me in the same sentence? How? But he did it. He said, I want you to do this, this, and this. And I was like, but? He said, but. If you ask me to help you, don't tell me how to do it. Man. He would say stuff to me like, you don't have nothing I want. Right? But he let me know who was the teacher and who was the student. So with about, I guess about a year, maybe close to 2 years clean, I went to Harrisburg. And I ran into a guy that the last time I had saw him was on the streets in Philly. And he said to me, stay sucker free. I was like, well, at least I'm not your fucking sucker. He said, Ron, you don't know who sucker you are. Now I'm standing there like this. Fuck you mean I don't know who sucker I am? But I didn't. I was a slave to the chemical. Since I had been like 8 or 9, I had been on a death. Like, mentally, subconsciously, I had a death wish. I didn't want to be here. Like, I'm a little kid. I'm going to have to be here without my mom and dad. The love that I got from my grandparents, they did the best they could. My grandmother used to say to me, I just don't understand you because you don't talk to nobody. Be like, you know, do y'all listen to kids? Because in that era where kids are to be heard, be seen, not heard, right? So I started to do some step work, some minimal step work. So, I started to float around the rooms and try to pollinate people. And my sponsor says to me,
What gives you the right to interfere in somebody's life and make them no good?
Well, how do you know what I mean, people? And then I thought about when it came to relationships with females, I didn't mean nobody no good. Like, I played the game where I'm gonna get you before you get me. For a lot of years. Like, I knew how to play the game where you sit down with your partner and you know what kind of bear cap they got. Spin the caps on them. Right? I'm the guy who would take your shit and help you look for it. And be like, let's call this search party off, man, because I don't think you had nothing. Right? So I came in here, and I heard something from my sponsor. I heard something in treatment that my granddad had been telling me since I was 20. He said, you need to grow the fuck up. People in here used to tell me, you need to grow the fuck up. I was 38 years old. I had a 24-year-old tell me I need to grow up. I was like, I'm about to punch you in your fucking mouth. Say that again. And then he realized, this dude, like, from the real ghetto, he's not playing. Because I'm like, yo, check this out. I've been knocked out before, so I don't think you could do that. Make a long story short, right? People started telling me stuff like I needed to grow up. And I took heed to it. You know, I started working the steps to the best of my ability. And my ability, when I started working the steps, was I know who I am because my granddad used to tell me, I forgive you for anything. But I never forget what you capable of. Right? I used to black out drunk and shit, right? But when I took somebody's shit, or I rolled somebody, or I stuck somebody up, I knew, oh my God, that was that motherfucker on the elevator. That was like, right? You know when you do somebody dirt, right? So I always knew what I was capable of. I don't want to be him no more. So I tried to follow these suggestions to the best of my ability. I really did. So to hide the point of freedom. Since I've been clean, the book talks about some of the things we go through. Jobless, homeless, penniless. Relationships and health issues, you name it, I've done it. This week, I was hoping that my treatments would be over by at least Wednesday, because for the past 6 weeks, I've been having radiation and chemotherapy for lung cancer. For 20 years, I've been hit by 7 cars. Never had a broken bone, but I got arthritis throughout my whole fucking body, right? I done had all kinds of infusions and burns in my back, and the last 8 nerves they wanted to burn was up in my neck. They did the imaging in January so they could find the right spot. They called me in February and said, we found a shadow on your lung. Like, huh? You gotta be fucking shitting me. Well, I drank the water at Camp Lejeune and then, so for 40 years I've been fighting the government trying to get compensated for some military injuries. I know a guy in the other fellowship. He said, Ron, give me these papers. Sent them in. In less than 3 months, motherfucker got me 30%. Gave me some papers about my lung. He's saying that I should get 70% within the next couple of months. 40 years I've been fighting the government. People in the fellowship has helped me. I was telling my ride up here that I had a best friend. I have a best friend. He might not consider me his best friend, but to me, he's still my best friend. I love him like a brother. We not the same kind of loyal. We not. Money, property, and prestige, I don't know. Could be. But he changed up on me, and I have to let him be who he is. I'm all right how this relationship worked out. Love him like a rock, and that's hard. But I'd pick that motherfucker up and throw him through a window just like I used to do when I was a little kid. Because when I was a little kid, I had such anger issues, I would walk around with rocks in my pocket. And there was this lady named Miss Georgia who would tell me, turn my pockets inside out. Because she always knew I had rocks in my pocket. I walked past a nice window. Somebody window getting busted. And because my granddad was a contractor and I always was throwing rocks, everybody was telling my granddad I broke their fucking window. I'd be on the next block over playing. They playing baseball over here. Somebody break a window with a ball, be like, fucking Ron. So what they do, they go tell my granddad. My granddad be like, fuck, you got a history of fucking rocks in your pocket. Your grandmother always tell me about dirt in your pocket. He go, why aren't you fixing these people windows? So, I don't know, I got here, I got a point of freedom where, you know, I love my life today. I got married at 55, right? Man and woman together, we together for damn near 2 years. Living together, I ain't talking about just together. Damn near 2 years. And one day she come in like Sergeant Joe Friday with this in fucking interrogation. Why you asking so many fucking questions? I tell her, like I'm getting better. I'm telling you the truth. She asked me all these questions. I did like this. She was like, what's that? I tell you, stupid. Stupid Ronald shows up. You get 3 motherfucking questions a day. Choose them wisely. I don't answer to people. Man, this woman, like, how the fuck do you tell a grown-ass adult that you live with? You planning to marry. What's that? Every day, you better choose them wisely. And like the whole time, this shit is coming out my mouth. I'm saying, boy, you got a dumbass. Why don't you just shut the fuck up? Cause she needs to know this about me. The fuck out of here. Who the fuck is you? So, the higher the point of freedom, man, I'm free to be who I am. When I first got here, one of my favorite things to say is, you don't fucking know me. My favorite line from Jerry Springer, you don't fucking know me. I'm doing my step work. I don't know my favorite color. I don't know my favorite meal. What the fuck, favorite ice cream? Cause when I got clean, there's an eye pin. Everybody that I sponsored prior to maybe
10 years ago, I would get the step four IP and have them work step four from the IP. Cause when I got clean, this is how I did step work. My sponsor was a basketball coach. He would take me to basketball practice with my basic text. Tell me to go up in the bleacher and find question marks. The higher point of freedom, y'all got some badass literature. We have some badass literature. Let me get that right. We have some badass literature. And here's the hit. It wasn't wrote by no professional. It was wrote by people just like you and me. So I always say, if you ever get anything out of something I say, or you can identify with something I've done, thank God. Because when I got here, I didn't think I had 2 years left to live. And sometimes my favorite saying is still, you don't fucking know me. You don't know me. But I thank God today that I know me. And my name is Ronald, and I'm a blessed recovering addict. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay.